There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mundial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 431, June 4th, 2010. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly or click on the link on our homepage. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, iPhone, or MP3 player. Listen to one you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Red Bull move on from turkey leftovers. Pirelli or Michelin? Who do you vote for? Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid and special interview, a conversation with Esteban Gutierrez, of course, GP2 winner in Istanbul. Steve, welcome to the program. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
I'm outstanding, and of course, correction, I meant GP3 winner. That will be next year when he wins GP2 at Istanbul, because the way he's going, it probably will happen.
It's a foregone conclusion.
Pretty much, man. Of course, quickly, we didn't do a race recap because we couldn't get the whole gang in the studio. So we're going to go ahead and run through it right away. We just go right to lap 41, kablamo, and there you have it.
Yeah, pretty much the story of the race. What's kind of interesting in the fact that it took quite a while before anybody actually fell out of the race this week.
There was very little.
Well, it was 32 laps into the race before Yarno Trulli's Lotus gave up the ghost.
And then Heikki Kovalainen
hit the same lap. Heikki's car.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves, Steve. For me, the big news was Fernando Alonso not getting into Q3, while Felipe Massa got into Q3, albeit in 8th, you know, and Alonso in 12th. Obviously, the Ferrari's got some issues.
Yeah, definitely need to find some more pace. The McLarens are starting to pull away. McLarens are really almost even pace with the Red Bulls right now. Red Bulls just have a fraction better speed in the corners. And actually, you know, you looked at the race this weekend, and it was kind of a trade-off. The Red Bulls went for speed in the corners, whereas the McLarens went for speed in the straight. And they pretty well balanced out, but the Red Bulls had just a slight advantage.
Well, I think the biggest advantage really went to McLaren because they didn't hit each other.
Yeah, they stayed
away. That's sort of an important advantage.
Yeah, well, it kind of helps as far as finishing the race goes.
Yes. But no, I'm looking at Ferrari. They were fighting with Renault and Mercedes Grand Prix in this race.
Oh, definitely. Mercedes has also shown a little bit of step forward.
Yeah.
They're definitely keeping up with the Ferraris now. And Renault is pretty much where they've been as far as the season's been going so far.
And Petrov, I don't care, I've criticized him. I've said it. I thought he should have been fired. But you know what? He has stepped up to the plate, and he's doing a fine job.
He looked pretty good in Turkey. Did manage to get to Q3 for the first time all season. Didn't run an exceptionally good race, but definitely his best showing of the season.
And quickly, I want to mention in the GP2 race, it was Pastor Maldonado. He's pretty much the Rubinho of GP2.
Maybe he's going to go for Rubinho's record, but in GP2.
Well, you know, when you're in GP2 and your last win was Monaco 2007, that is a sign that you need to either move on or get into NASCAR or Craftsman trucks.
Well, DTM, or you move away from open wheel because you're probably not going much farther.
Well, no, but it's a sad state of affairs.
But you got to give him credit. You know, if he can get the sponsorship to get a team to give him a ride, more power to him.
I agree. And he certainly has experience.
Definitely.
So, interesting state of affairs there for Pastor Maldonado. The start of the race was pretty clean, and I was impressed as Lewis Hamilton got by Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised that he was able to get by him. But again, this particular track, really tough when you're on the dirty side, because this is a very dirty track.
Especially, and Jenson Button getting by Michael Schumacher was impressive as well. Of course, it was the standard stuff. Pretty much the Red Bulls banging out the first fast laps of the race.
For the majority of the first several laps, then Lewis Hamilton would sneak one in, and then the Red Bulls would take it back. And even Hemi Aguasfari actually threw one down at one point during the race.
Of course, Sebastian Vettel is able to get back in front of Lewis Hamilton, and that happened.
On the tire change, that was pretty impressive.
Pit stops, yes.
Yeah, Red Bull got their guy out just fast enough that the McLaren had to hold up their driver, otherwise risk another, you know, race down pit lane like we saw.
Of course. And when Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel pitted, Jenson Button was leading the race for a moment, but when he pitted, he came out in P4.
Yeah, that ended Mark Webber's tremendous, we had a huge leading lap streak going up to that point.
Exactly. Lewis Hamilton puts in the fast lap of the race on lap 18 with a 1:31.7. And on lap 20, they're talking about rain. The clouds, there's one big cloud.
You could see the thunderhead in the shower off in the distance, and you're looking, well, is that headed this way? You know, and they went and they showed a radar shot on one of the computers, and you're like, well, that looks pretty impressive. But
it did look pretty impressive.
Is it going to get here?
I was hoping for rain.
Yeah, that would have definitely made things much more interesting.
Well, it would have changed the whole outcome of this race.
If it had come in time, it would have definitely changed the outcome of this race.
Of course, I'm duking it out between DeGrassi and Bruno Senna. Bruno Senna having a pretty good race so far. Of course,
when you're an HRT,
I know
that's kind of...
But I'm trying to cut him some slack.
Yeah, well, he... He's doing his best, that he's doing pretty good in what he's got, but there was also rumors this week that his seat's in jeopardy, and I'm like going, really?
And for a while, there wasn't much excitement. Lots of fast laps from Jenson Button, who was doing a marvelous job. On lap 34, it was Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Michael Schumacher, Nico Rosberg, Robert Kubica, Felipe Massa, Vitaly Petrov, and then Fernando Alonso. Ferrari's obviously not having a good day. It's got to be pretty disappointing.
Yeah, especially considering how good they've been at this track the last couple of years, and to be kind of languishing there at the bottom of the top 10.
Not only that, but
rough weekend.
The team is getting on the horn telling Fernando to pressure Vitaly Petrov. I'm going, boy, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well. They're duking it out with Vitaly Petrov.
Right, exactly. In a Renault, which... who were not even supposed to be top 10 car this year. Kudos to Vitaly to basically put Fernando behind him and keep him back there for a while.
Not only that, but I think he's learning from Robert Kubica. I think he's beginning to pick up the pace and realizing he's got to start competing first with his teammate.
Yeah, exactly. He definitely showing more chutzpah this weekend as far as one, not wrecking the car in one of the practice sessions to put his poor engineers in sleep deprivation mode this weekend. And also, the way he qualified was very helpful for the race he got to run.
And let's just get right to it. Lap 41, Sebastian Vettel seems to be picking up the pace. He's
pressuring Mark Webber.
He's catching Mark Webber. Makes the move, which was pretty gutsy. But it wasn't the right time to try to pass Mark Webber.
No, definitely not. The other issue comes up, too, is that the only reason he's keeping up with Mark Webber is because Mark Webber's trying to save fuel to make sure that he's got enough to finish the race. You know, apparently from the articles this week, Mark Webber had been on the horn to Christian Horner the lap before, asking them to ask Sebastian to back off a little bit. But they were concerned with the pace of the McLarens and them being able to catch up. So, you know, it looked like a good move. But then, you know, it was almost a mistake on both their parts. One, Sebastian trying to make the move and really trying to push it when he didn't really have it. And then Mark Webber really just slammed the door on him.
Well, I mean, Mark Webber held his line, which is what you need to do. I thought Mark Webber wasn't at fault at all. In terms of racing. Right. Now, of course, the teammate situation, you know, Mark Webber could have given way and say, you know, okay, he got me this time, let's not crash, you know. But things happen so fast. But Christian Horner, you know, he did say that Mark Webber asked Sebastian Vettel to back off. Now, I find that interesting. Because I'm pretty sure that the drivers can't talk to each other. So they must have told Christian.
No, you have to go through the... you've got to go through the pit crew because they don't. It's a two-way radio and it only goes to one place.
That's what I thought too. But it was interesting. Christian Horner also said it looked like Mark started to struggle with the rear tires a bit more. That's what it looked like on the pit wall. And Sebastian between laps 38 and 39 really closed up rapidly to the back of Mark. Obviously, got a run on him on lap 40, and they both found themselves in a situation they did not want to be. And it was brutal to watch.
Oh, horrible, because you know that this is going to be a Red Bull 1-2. Unless one of the cars gives up before the end of the race, or one of the drivers makes a horrendous mistake. And then to have that come up where Vettel looks like he's probably got the pass, and then to kiss Webber and basically finish his race, to lose those points, and then basically knocking Webber off track to allow the two McLarens to get past... Just a horrible weekend as far as points go for Red Bull when they were basically looking at the top two slots and end up with only the third.
And Christian Horner also said, they are probably not going to be down at the pub for a drink together, but they will continue to work professionally on a daily basis. And apparently they have buried the hatchet, as they say.
Yeah, well, I think it's basically comes down to Horner basically said, you guys... leave that behind or we're going to knock you upside the head.
Yeah, because it could become a disease.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need this. You know, we're trying to win a championship here. We don't need you guys having fisticuffs in the pits.
Exactly. Very interesting. I thought it was interesting when the team told Michael Schumacher to watch the curbs.
Our car's a little brittle. Watch out for the curbs.
You know. I don't think you need to tell Michael Schumacher anything.
Well, didn't the Mercedes have a problem in qualifying or one of the practices with one of the sway bars cracking?
No, the sway bar cracked on Sebastian Vettel's Red Bull.
Okay.
You know, the brittle car is really the Red Bull, not the Mercedes Grand Prix. But in the end, a great race, and of course, the final laps with the fight between Lewis Hamilton and Jenson Button, basically showing you how it's done. And I was impressed with Jenson Button grabbing the lead, and then once again Lewis Hamilton said, no way, Jose,
yep,
and took it back. And of course, it was very interesting because the team told both of them to save fuel.
Right. Which is, maybe that's their code word for don't wreck each other.
Now, that's very possible, but to be honest with you, I think it was real. I think they were very close to running out of fuel. And when you see something like that, I'm going, are these cars designed pretty much to the limit on some of these longer tracks?
Well, I think it may be more the fact that they run their fuel calculations and maybe they try to trim them a little bit too tight, expecting X number of laps of not really pushing. And because they were so close to the Red Bulls for so much of the race, same thing for the Red Bulls, they were really pushing, running high RPMs all the time, therefore burning up more fuel than would be normally expected.
Okay. But still, I'm going to wonder what's going to happen at Monza.
Yeah. It could be the fact that, you know, even with a completely topped off tank of gas, these guys can be pretty close to the edge if they're running flat out the entire time.
I think it's pretty close.
So you may be looking at stuff, you know, we saw a lot of that in the Indy 500 where everybody was playing fuel strategies. Is this guy going to have enough to finish? And it happens, you know, especially you get in a longer race with a longer track and it gets competitive. where they're having a, where they're going all out all the time, gets a little more dicey.
Of course, Fernando Alonso finally, towards the end of the race, does finally get by Vitaly Petrov. But I'm telling you, it was a... I thought they made contact. To me, it looked like they went smack, smack, smack. And I was going, you know, Fernando, what are you doing?
Really close.
But he had to, you know, he had to pass just for his machismo and bravo, bravo, bravo.
Well, that, and that kind of threw Vitaly off because he kind of started to fall at that point.
Yeah, his manhood was just briefly shaken.
Yeah, maybe he did get him just enough. Maybe they did make contact and Vitaly's car got tweaked a little bit so he couldn't go quite as fast.
Perhaps, but still an exciting ending. Happy for Lewis Hamilton. He gets his first win of the season.
Jenson Button. Taking time.
And a 1-2 McLaren finish again this year. McLaren looking outstanding, especially when Red Bull keeps making huge mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. They're basically kind of being a little bit of vulture-ish, but they're basically running smart races. You know, okay, we're not starting from the front. Let's stay close. If we can get past them, great. If we can't, let's stay close because, hey, it's Red Bull. They might break. They might crash. They might run into each other.
And I think Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber need to talk to each other. You know, if Mark's had 3 poles in a row, I think Vettel should talk to him and say, you know what, if I'm coming in on the inside, don't close the door. Because we got to think about the team, but I also, you know, we're racing.
Right. It basically, they need to talk about being smart when they are in a racing situation. In that, you know, don't do something that's going to cause a wreck. You know, think it through. You know, if I've got you at the end of that straight and I'm there, let off. And vice versa. If you haven't been able to get there yet, let off.
So I agree completely. I agree completely. And, of course, Michael Schumacher's best finish of the season in 4th, which is outstanding. And Robert Kubica continues to perform for Renault with another outstanding finish. So pretty much everybody is happy.
Yeah, and Robert Kubica finishing ahead of both Ferraris.
Yes. Moving on in other news, which was interesting, Force India has decided to sue Lotus Racing, Mike Gascoigne, and Aerolab over breach of intellectual property. So, interesting stuff. And
And then also very interesting, too, that you ended up having 3 engineers jump ship from Force India to Lotus this week, too.
And it continues, yes. It's fascinating. And, of course, Force India F1 team confirms it has instigated UK civil proceedings against the Malaysian racing team. Force India also confirms that a complaint of disclosure of confidential information was filed in December of 2009. So this has been going on for a while. Fascinating. The other good news of the race in Turkey was Kamui Kobayashi finally getting a point for Sauber and having a pretty good race, finishing.
Yeah, good weekend.
Both cars
didn't
finished.
Make one of his, you know, rookie-ish mistakes. Just a good weekend for Sauber overall, just being able to get that car in the points.
Exactly. In other news, real quickly, Jacques Villeneuve will be driving for Braun Racing in NASCAR. They always do this when the Canadian Grand Prix is coming up. Jacques is a big sell over there. And Jack is always in town when the Grand Prix is in town, and they might as well also make some money off whatever lingering.
So is there a
stuff? No, there's no NASCAR race on the Grand Prix weekend, Steve.
Yeah, sorry to say what.
But it's exciting. I'm glad to see Jacques get a drive every once in a while.
Yeah, it's good to see him get one. I don't understand why he doesn't have a full time drive in something like DTM.
I think he crashed too much.
Oh, maybe.
So I don't know. He's not what he used to be.
No, and I don't know that he's ever been really the same after the crash that he had in the BMW that pretty much ended his Formula One career.
I think it was after he got fired that he never became the same. He just couldn't handle it. And Kimi Raikkonen still the talk of the town in WRC.
Anytime something goes on at Red Bull, it's like, "Ooh, here comes Kimi."
Yeah, but the problem. Yeah, but you know, it's already been spoken about. I think, and it's looking stronger and stronger that Robert Kubica is not going to Ferrari. Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber are probably going to be signed for next year.
Yeah, Red Bull. If I'm Red Bull, sure. I don't want to change drivers right now because I've got the 2 guys who are giving me the best for my money. There really isn't a combination of drivers that you could pick better than this pair right now on the grid. And you could, who are you going to replace Mark Webber with? You know, he's probably a top six, top eight driver. Sebastian Vettel, we know, is pretty much a top three in most cases when he's not, you know, overdriving his car. They couldn't. I don't think they could do better than what they've got. You know,
I agree.
You're not going to bring in Yarno truly to take Webber's place.
No, and they're not. I think Kimi Raikkonen is not that hot of a material for Formula One anymore. And to be honest with you, I think Kimi Raikkonen, if he continues to finish rallies, he's probably going to want to stick around next year because he's going to be better.
Right, he's getting better. He's gotten better every rally this season.
Absolutely.
And watching him in the recaps, he's having fun, which you never really saw him do when he was in Formula One.
No, he actually talks.
He talks, and there's in most cases practically a smile on his face when he comes off the road. Like, wow, that was a blast.
Yeah, and I think it's I think maybe Citroën is just giving him better ice cream.
Maybe they keep the vodka just a little bit cooler than Ferrari.
I think they're serving Grey Goose, dude.
Yeah.
I think they got the French vodka, and he likes the French vodka. So there you have it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial that I just took a peek at before the show. And, of course, the interview with GP3 Istanbul winner Esteban Gutierrez. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Karachi Kid, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and Hoşgeldiniz Denise to Turkish Grand Prix edition of Motorsports Mondial. Today we have F1, GP2, GP3, IRL, NASCAR, WRC, and IDU from the streets of Monte Carlo. We shall start with some thoughts on the Turkish Grand Prix. The reverse cage rattling continued with Mark Webber's third pole position in a row. And what looked like an easy 1-2 for Red Bull resulted in McLaren grabbing the top two spots on the podium. Congratulations to Mr. Hamilton. It is clear Vettel has been rattled. Who would have thought? The Wunderkind is facing serious headwind from down under. Mark Webber, for so long the Jenson Button of Australia, in terms of getting his first win, has taken the fight to his younger and generally considered more talented teammate. One thing is for sure, just like the Senna-Prost rivalry or the Alonso-Hamilton situation. You remember that, Mr. Rogers?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's called 2007.
Is there texting involved?
Yes. The Red Bull drivers will not listen to anybody once the lights go out. And that's the way it should be, mano a mano. The Red Bull drivers will be fighting more like junkyard dogs as the season wears out. Dr. Helmut Marko was very quick to blame Webber initially. Both him and Christian Horner may want to watch the aforementioned FIA 2007 championship review DVD and realize it doesn't take much to have the best package and still lose out on the championship. I'm with Webber on this. You know, Sebastian Vettel, you know, when you're trying to pass a driver, it's your responsibility. And looks like from all angles that we have seen so far, he did move a little bit to the right, and that caused the schmazel. And I've never heard of a situation a driver who's being passed is just going to move over. Now, if it's the last race of the season and he just needs to score a point, that's another story. But this is duel with the dingo.
This is Yeah, this is definitely a duel with the Dingo for sure. And what I found interesting is some of the bias from an Austrian-owned team towards maybe for Vettel instead of an Australian possibly winning the championship. It looks like the team was pro-Vettel, but they backed off of that.
Well, now there's accusation that they are backing the, you know, in Austria they speak German, so they're backing a German speaking driver. I don't think that's the case, but, you know, he has been on their payroll before he was a teenager, and he's a very talented driver. But the thing is, you can't take anything away from Mark Webber. I mean, the guy has really upped his game, and let's race. It's one of those things. If you're so good, beat me. It's like the Robbie Gordon program, and people used to complain about being a slow chicane and all that, moving chicane. And he says, hey, if you're faster than me, pass me. So Sebastian Vettel tried and paid the price.
Exactly.
Lewis Hamilton showed the silver cars streaking ahead to catch up to the Red Bull Stampede. And it was nice. Hamilton dedicated the victory to his papito, who was celebrating his 50th birthday on Monday. So congratulations to Daddy. And I think it will be a long, hot summer in Formula One during the second half of the season. Apart from the Red Bull drivers, Hamilton, Button, and Nando are still very much in the game. And I am convinced that as the season goes on, there are less and less races remaining. So if you drop out and don't score a point, you're going to lose a lot of points to your rival. I think it's going to get more and more, you know, bitter feuding between teammates.
Absolutely.
Webber still leads the championship. I heard something interesting on another podcast. They said that if both of them had finished, it would have been worse for Webber, because now he has a bigger lead because both of them were tied. So we'll see how it works out. It's a long way to go. Webber still leads the championship, but now has Button and Hamilton as buffer against Vettel. He is fourth, if I'm not mistaken, right, in the championship. And both came to Turkey with leg up on the competition, as both of them were joint leaders of the championship. Fortunes can change very quickly. And I got to tell you something. If you put Michael Schumacher in the Red Bull, he will start winning races. Same thing with Nico Rosberg. But I have a feeling that if they, as pushy as Hamilton is, if they can get this McLaren to just a little bit more competitive, doesn't have to be the fastest machine, and the infeud going on between the Red Bull drivers, the gauge might tilt towards McLaren drivers. It could be Button or Hamilton.
Exciting.
Yeah. And I heard that Button has been on the podium in 50% of his Formula One starts. That is very, very impressive. And he's not racing against, you know, Pastor Maldonado or, you know, Takuma Sato. He's racing some serious hombres. So that's very impressive. GP2 championship is also heating up. Six different winners in six races. So this is open game too, open source like Linux. The feature race was won by your favorite, Pastor Maldonado of Venezuela. And I think you're right in calling him Rubinho of GP2. He's been there for a while. Sponsorship is not an issue because it comes from PDVSA, the Venezuelan National Petroleum Company. But he has good credentials. He has won some races. But I think it's time for him to come and race for Dale Coyne or Milka Duno. Because, you know, 3 years in GP2, it's very hard. Unless Venezuelan company wants to write his ticket to Formula One. A good guy. I met him a couple of years ago. Nice guy. And second was the GP2 Asia champion, Davide Valsecchi. He's been there for a while also. Winner in sprint race was Dani Clos of Spain over Luis Razia of Brazil. In the championship, Maldonado leads with 27 points. Dani Clos is second on 23 and Razia third on 20 points. You know, our friend Mr. Jules Bianchi, he started, I think, his first GP2 race, the GP2 Asia, from pole position. And he's having some difficulties. He has the pace but has not been able to finish in the top three on a regular basis. But I expect him to start going pretty soon. Otherwise, these guys will run away with the championship points. One notch below GP2 is GP3. The championship has a new leader after Esteban Gutierrez. His name is Esteban Gutierrez Gutierrez. Like Lisa and the Carl Jam. You remember that?
Or Boutros Ghali.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
I think you should call Fernando, since you like him so much, Fernando Alonso. Eh?
Nasser Hamid?
No, I'm just, Nasser is okay. Okay, anyway, Esteban Gutierrez of Mexico dominated race one on Saturday. James Jakes of England was second. Felipe Gimares of Brazil third, and Alexander Rossi from Northern California is fourth. Rossi is doing a very good job. Even when he starts way back in the reverse grade or did not have a good qualifying run, he's really coming through the field. But anyway, moving on, race two saw, this was very impressive, Ray, and I could not meet this driver in Barcelona, but I was able to say hello and did a brief chat with his mom. Race two saw a big win for Indonesian motorsports as Rio Haryanto won the race after leading from start to finish. And they do like the GP2 reverse grid for the sprint race, top eight are reverse. So if you finish it, you're in pole position. Mickey Monraz, you know, this is interesting. I did an interview with Mickey Monraz, which we will play in the near future. And in 2006, I believe it was when I went to Mariembourg, Belgium, to see Kazim Manzou race. I think it was the European Championship. Mickey Monraz was the kid who won the championship that day.
Hmm.
So it's amazing how kids come through the system. So Mickey Monraz of Spain was second, and Rossi was the third man on the podium. Rossi is now second in the championship, 5 points behind ART teammate Gutierrez. Another North American driver, Robert Wickens of Canada, is third. So I'm a very strong feeling the champion is going to come from this side of the pond, which is good. These young men will fight again in the streets of Valencia at the end of this month when they have the Grand Prix, or what is it called, Europa
European
or
Grand
Mediterranean.
Prix,
yeah. Now we go to Indy 500 from the Brickyard. Win number two for Dario Franchitti, making team owner Chip Ganassi the only team owner ever to win the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500 in the same year. I think I'm going to cry. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was my impression of Jamie McMurray at Daytona in February. And back to Indy, as far as the race results are concerned, Dan Walden was second, Marco Andretti was third. Marco was a little pissed off, and who can blame him, because there was a yellow and a couple of guys passed him, and he was like shown initially fourth or fifth. So they restored him to his deserving place, which is good.
Of course.
Yeah. The Pussycat Doll department was led by Danica Patrick, who finished sixth, and she was getting a lot of flack for her comment and performance in qualifying. So she made
ripping of her team in qualifying.
Yeah, everybody in her team. I mean, that was a pathetic.
That was just.
And she deserved the booze.
Yeah, she did.
But she made up by finishing sixth.
I was very impressed with that finish.
Yeah. Swiss Miss Simona Di Silvestro was 14th and was awarded Rookie of the Year. Ana Beatriz of Brazil was 21st. Did you watch any of the race, sir?
Just a little bit, but, you know, that left turn after a while starts, you know, it's just mesmerizing.
Start making you feel like Che Guevara?
Exactly.
Okay.
Sleepy?
Yeah,
I watched bits and pieces. I actually watched the last three, five laps of the race.
Yeah.
That accident that Mike Conway had was just...
horrendous.
Man, I haven't seen a car get up off the track like that in years.
Well, Kenny Briscoe also had the same type of accident. I watch most of the Indy 500 on the web, the Indy car, and I'm sure there are different options, but the feed I was getting was a complete helicam thing all throughout. But I enjoyed it, and it was great. Mike Conway, as you mentioned, ex-British F3 champion, survived a frightening accident at the end of the race and will be out for three or maybe more months with a broken leg. The Indy Lights race was won by Wade Cunningham. In the championship, your homeboy, Jean-Carl Vernet of Lyon, still leads with 157 points over Charlie Kimball of Ventura County in SoCal, who is on 152 points. The other major event of Memorial Day weekend was the 600-miler, known as the Coca-Cola 600, at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Captain Penske did not win at Indy, but Kurt Busch gave him victory in North Carolina. Jamie McMurray was second and Kyle Busch was third. Monty completed 306 of 400 laps and was classified 38th. Kevin Harvick from Bakersfield leads the chase to the chase over Kyle Busch from Vegas and Matt Kenseth from Wisconsin. Oh, now we come to World Rally Championship. Rally Miguel, also known as Rally de Portugal. Sebastian in a Citroën was the winner, but this time, for the first time, It was Sébastien Ogier who took the victory over his illustrious teammate, the ace of Alsace, Monsieur Loeb. You still feel good? It was still a Citroën. It was still a Sébastien, if not the Loeb. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Do we have a pulse?
Yes, Loeb said that his number one concern now could be Ogier.
Completing a sweep of the podium for Citroën was Danny Sordo of Spain. Kimi Raikkonen was 10th also in a Citroën. Loeb leads the championship 126 points to 88 over Ogier.
And I think Kimi finishing 10th is an outstanding finish. Portugal is very hard to have good notes and everything and finish this race. Keep up the good work, Kimi Raikkonen.
Yes. He used to be in Formula One, right?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Okay, now we come to I Do from Monte Carlo. What a place to get married, huh? Ex-Grand Prix driver Bob Bondurant married Miss Patricia on the Grand Prix track on May 14th. And this is the place where Bob Bondurant finished fourth in the 1966 Monaco Grand Prix. And apparently he was also involved in doing quite a bit of work for the movie Grand Prix, which was done in 1966, as you very well know. Bob Bondurant is also very famous for his racing school. And I just wonder if he showed the bride his skid control techniques.
Well, that will be, you know, once they're married, then when she has to do the laundry, skid control techniques will definitely be coming in handy.
Okay. I wish to Mrs. Bondurant all the best. Okay, so anything else? Also, you know, I'm very happy about this. IRL has confirmed that they will have a race, I believe, next year in Baltimore.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so my sister lives in the area, so I'm definitely going there with the kids.
You could watch it from her balcony?
No, she's about 45 minutes, but I'll definitely be there in the streets.
Okay,
the streets,
I'll see and what
the
I can do.
Yeah, and it's a very nice area where they're doing the race. So that should be good. And also they have announced that they will go turbo engines, V4, four-cylinder or V6. And so there is some... The IndyCar carcass is beginning to, you can see some movement on the stomach, and I think it's breathing again, which is good.
That is good. And will they still be powered by Honda next year?
No, I think they're trying to get different, which is what they should really do, get more manufacturers and also have a couple of different chassis manufacturers.
That's a good idea. I think
go back to that. I liked it better when you had choices.
Oh, yeah. What they should do is seriously, you know, get... they spend a lot of money on promotion, as you know, TV fees, this and that. They should get a couple of big names. They should get Mansell. If they get Nigel Mansell kid, what's his name, Greg?
Greg and Leo?
Leo. Leo could be,
watching the birds.
No, Leo, he could be his catering manager. But they need to get Greg. And Leo makes a killer fish and chip combo, I hear. And also they should get Nelson Piquet Jr. So I kid you not, names bring fans, let me tell you that. They got to get some big name drivers there.
But some people might not want to race with the unmentionable.
No. It's, you know, Muslim what happened was...
I don't even know why he was kicked out of Formula One.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, Flavio and Simmons are back, and he was a scapegoat, you know. I mean, it's sad how his career ended that way, you know. I mean, I can understand the kid trying to call his dad in Brazil, and he didn't call because it was, you know, 2 in the morning. PKB, he could have taken the first flight and smacked Nelsinho. Hey, why you wake me up? But anyway, life goes on. So, anything else that you would like?
Well, I was really impressed to see Pat Simmons now writing for F1 Racing.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, great articles. And if anybody misses Pat Simmons, pick up your F1 Racing magazine. And he's doing some technical inputs. Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. So, we'll see how that goes. And that's about it. NASA, another outstanding Motorsports Mundial. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with another great interview, of course, with Esteban Gutierrez.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
And now our interview with Esteban Gutierrez Gutierrez.
Thank you, sir. Esteban Gutierrez Gutierrez, winner of the GP3 race in Istanbul. And we have been chatting with him and following his career since he was racing here in the U.S. some years ago. He is definitely the rising star of Mexican motorsports. He was Rookie of the Year in Formula BMW US in 2007 and won the European version with 7 victories in 2008. 6 of those wins were in a row. In 2009, he raced in Formula F3 Euro Series, and this year is one of the hot favorites for the GP3 title. This conversation took place in Barcelona. My thanks to him and his manager, Senor Marx Granados, for their time and cooperation. And Esteban was kind enough to drop me at the hotel also on Sunday evening.
So Did he drive?
Yeah.
Wow. A Camry, maybe?
No, but and he drives fast. I can confirm that even in a passenger car. So my gracias for that also. And for more information on Esteban's career, please visit his website, which is www.esteban.gtz.com. And Esteban and his family are originally from Monterrey in Mexico, and he is based in Paris during the racing season. Please enjoy the conversation. Gracias. Okay, folks, I'm here with our old amigo, Esteban Gutierrez from Monterrey, Mexico. Esteban, first of all, you've just done your two inaugural races in the GP3. First of all, what is your impression of the series?
Well, I think they did a very good job. It was a very positive start for the whole championship because the reliability of the car, of all the teams, all the drivers were really good. And to be as a new series, it's quite impressive. So the organization, everything, normally the first race it may fail a bit, but it was very good in every aspect. So I think it's very positive and it will be very good for the whole season.
Last year you were in F3 Euro Series. Happy that you came here?
Yes, I mean, at some point it was a good decision because of the amount of drivers. To be in a Formula One event, it's very benefit. It's a good benefit because you are with the people, you get to know the guys in Formula One, and this is, I think, very important for the future. I mean, also the tracks are great. You know, I enjoy a lot these tracks, Formula One tracks, and also the car is very nice. So I don't regret myself coming here.
And racing, you have raced on Formula One weekends before in Formula BMW Europe, but racing in the presence of His Majesty Bernie, does that add more pressure?
Yes, it's like a special weekend, you know, because you can really enjoy the whole thing, you know, the tracks, the atmosphere, the thing. Although it's a bit a pity that it's not so much track time, but yeah, I mean, in other aspects it's very positive and we are very happy to be here.
Your team, ART, dominated preseason testing. What happened in qualifying where you folks did not get the pole?
Well, it was more a matter of being on the right time on the start and finish line. I think, as I told a lot of people, that not because of testing we're going to be dominating the whole season. Even here in Barcelona, we were very... I said that it was very going to be very competitive because after a test, that the last test was here. Of course, all the drivers have a good reference for themselves and the teams and everything. So let's see for the few next races. We have to keep working to be very competitive through the whole season.
Okay, last year you had a very tough season in F3 Euro Series, which is at that time was very competitive. What are the main lessons you learned from a tough season last year that will help you succeed this year?
Well, to be smart in every race, even if you don't start in the front, you know, because to start on the back is very difficult with the downforce, the loss of downforce racing behind the cars. So you have to be really, really smart on each move you have to do through the race and be clever on the situation with the tires and things like this. Okay. Yes, spent some time in the Williams F1 simulator, and last year drove an actual F1 car, the BMW Sauber car. How real is the simulator, and what was the feeling of driving a Formula Uno machine?
Well, it was the simulator. Of course, it's a helpful thing for training your abilities, training your techniques. But of course, it's never going to be like real, you know. The sensation of a Formula One car in the real, it's just quite impressive. It's a special thing, you know. It's exceptional. So I think this is what makes F1 very special. And yes, it was a great experience that helped me also for the seasons and for the championships I will do in the future.
And you are now in the Sauber Driver Development Program. Can you please tell us how this deal came together?
Well, yeah, it was coming from BMW, from Formula BMW. This was we had a very close relationship, and for the first year in Formula BMW, second year as well, and Formula 3 as well. So yeah, they gave me the opportunity to do the test, and it went very well. The atmosphere with the engineers, the work, everything was very positive, and I think this was the most important. Not only the results, not only the speed or the performance in the car, but also the work behind that is done, which is very important.
And you're spending some time in there in the pits and with the briefing and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, I do, and it's a bit difficult because of timing, and I am the whole day doing a lot of things, but yes, it's a very good thing to learn and to already feel what's the F1 atmosphere, you know, up there.
Here is the most important question. Has Kamui Kobayashi brought you some sushi from his dad's restaurant?
Yes, he actually, yesterday I saw he had some food, but I'm sure it's very good. I have not tried it, but I hope in the future he can share with me a little bit.
Okay, how about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly, please?
For
message?
A message, well.
Mensaje.
Mensaje, yeah. I mean, it was a great weekend. We hope to continue and put up America in the top in Europe. I think we are quite a few Americans here, so we have to keep pushing to get a good result for everybody and good work. And thankfully, we have a good team, which is very helpful and very benefited to learn, to have the experience, and to push up everybody, you know, up interesting for racing.
Thank you very much.
Gracias.
Esteban Gutierrez, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now let's go right to the wrap-up with the forum updates.
Forum updates for June 1st. Thank you, Baumgartner. Mixed enthusiasm for the Tokyo-designed USGP track is rolling on the teams and drivers forum. Is this the right place for this discussion? What about the race report or the miscellaneous forums? No new members this week. Time for more people to join the fun. Come on down. After a long discussion of what a koozie is, it still didn't garner enough votes to be the least popular potential F1 Weekly merchandise. David, Ye, and Frank are discussing some 3D tech and comparing PC versus PlayStation over which way to enjoy the new Formula One game most thoroughly. Eventually, concluding that the PS3s are used for science by nerds and Frank would rather play Gran Turismo than Pole Position. AudiblePodcast.com is still getting some action at the Random Forum. Dominating pictures on how I love to live in the countryside, girls, cars, scars, and cactus. Red Bull controversy is bringing some stinging criticism by some, but Frank has leapt to their defense. Regular posts missing this week. Tricky Dicky's Mark Webber bashing, Miguel's Autosport Portugal scoop, rants, or other people campaigning in the wrong forum.
Thank you, Baumgartner. Keep up the good work. And quickly, I want to remind everybody that, yes, the Canadian Grand Prix, yours truly will be there. And, of course, I want to remind the listeners, if you're attending, we'll have a F1 Weekly gathering at Hurley's Irish Pub, downtown Montreal at 5 o'clock. We got a spot reserved. Everybody's going to be excited.
Which day is that?
It's Friday.
Friday.
June 11th, 5 p.m. at Hurley's on Crescent Street in beautiful downtown Montréal.
Montréal.
So there you have it. And now let's have 50 words on the Turkish Grand Prix. Stephen, take it away.
First ones are from Ye. He writes, how can anyone not blame Vettel for that crash?
Miguel says, Petrov good, Vettel bad. Hammy lucky, Weber sad.
Dr. Mark writes, as the ultimate cause of the crash, I agree with you. But it also depends when and how they'd been told to turn down their engines and for what reason. If Vettel was generally faster than Markey and was being pressured by Hamilton, then it's fair enough that it's all down to Vettel. If the team just fancied getting Vettel ahead, then they were complicit in the resulting mess up. I'm more interested in whether there's something funny going on at McLaren. I suppose you'd expect that. I'll do a bit of digging.
Kehei Sin writes, Vettel throws himself away and Button has a go at the same. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the Red Bull wall post-race? Sadly, Nicole doesn't fall out of her dress despite her best efforts.
Motor Racing Fan writes, the bulls lock horns. Vettel comes off worse after crashing into Mark. Schumacher beats Rosberg again. Renault outraced Ferrari on number 800. Fernando needs to crash into Petrov to get past. The McLaren teammates prove you can race and not crash into each other. Hamilton's go faster earrings get the win.
François Sever says, fantastic cage rattling day. Red Bull running their race, McLaren drivers fighting each other, Alonso at the back of the grid fighting Petrov. Really fantastic.
Crazy Grin writes, hey, they just discovered your show. Hey, just discovered your show and loving it. Here's my 50 race review. BBC's Jake Humphrey shows off his new iPad. Kobayashi storms to Q3, and Sauber's first point. Hamilton slips a magnet into Vettel's car to get him to crash into Weber. Button tries for the win, but realizes that Hamilton's girl is there and doesn't really want to upset her.
Iceman, right? Lewis's luck it in Istanbul ahead of Jensen. McLaren finished 1-2 in spite of sudden fuel problems. Thrilling roller coaster ride in Turkey probably ends entente cordiale in Red Bull. Ferrari makes 800, but Alonso doesn't make Q3 again. The Schumi rehabilitation continues. Rain threatened, but for once wasn't needed.
Wrath of Brights? Red Bull headed.
Interraptor says, Hammy and Jensen show Red Bull how to fight and not shoot yourself out of the race. Weber gets car home in third, rest of the field completely outpaced, and Kobayashi gets first Sauber point.
H-Bright Music writes, where are the doom mongers now? Who said this season would be boring because of the new rules? I said before the start of the season, it would be a good one.
Shiknish says, I was an emotional wreck like Adrian Newey when Red Bull crashed each other. Good job to Jens today. Sensational drive.
Koala, great race with interest throughout, both at the front and midfield. Vettel's brain fade might have destroyed Weber's chance of winning, but his P3 still allowed him enough points to lead the driver's championship after Turkey.
And of course, Dr. I'm on vacation, Mark F. Speedy Red Bulls shaken off the road by cage rattlers. Apparently fueled by the team owners shaking the bars. McLaren developments now bearing fruit, but were their owners also spinning fuel fantasies? Mercedes were solid while Renault and Ferrari fought entertainingly for the scraps.
Chemix writes, Red Bull gives you wings, but apparently doesn't help your brain too much. We are about to see Red Bull throw another championship away with stupid, pointless mistakes. Note to Seb, to finish first, you must first finish.
There you have it, another outstanding 50 words or less on the last Grand Prix. Real quickly, Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Red Line Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, simply go to CameronKarting.com. I want to mention Facebook and Twitter. Do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. Once again, I look forward to seeing and meeting the F1 listeners, F1 Weekly listeners, that is, at the Canadian Grand Prix. It's going to be very exciting. I want to thank everybody who listens and emails. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.